This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. We are talking about the postponement of Parliament because lawmakers were informed on Saturday afternoon that the special parliamentary sitting that was supposed to resume today will be postponed for 2 weeks from July 29th.
Right. Increasing COVID-19 cases detected in Parliament was the reason cited by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. This is also in line with Health Ministry Director General Tan Sri Dr. Noor Hisham Abdullah's suggestion, based on a risk assessment by the ministry, which found that Parliament was at risk for the spread of COVID-19.
Now, this postponement comes after last Thursday's precarious situation between the federal government and the monarchy, since the Yang Diputan Agong reprimanded the government following the revocation of the emergency ordinances last week. And in the meantime, there have been increasing calls for our Prime Minister to resign, and observers are saying that this postponement is the relief he needs at the moment.
Breaking down the constitutional aspect of this parliamentary postponement is constitutional lawyer Niu Sin Yu. We have him on the line. Sin Yu, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. Let's talk about the technicalities a bit. The Prime Minister has ordered the Parliament be postponed to a later date per Standing Order 11, subsection 3. Can you help to explain what this standing order actually entails?
The standing orders of the Dewan Rakyat are basically written rules which regulate the proceedings of the Dewan Rakyat. I think there is a mistake in the letter by the Prime Minister. Standing Order 11 sub 3 deals with the bringing of the meeting of the Dewan Rakyat to an earlier date if public interest requires. I think the accurate standing order should be 11 sub 2, that the Leader of the House, which is also the Prime Minister, may vary the dates fixed for the sitting of a session of the Dewan Rakyat. There is nothing particularly special about the Prime Minister being able to change the sitting date of Parliament. And as we saw on Thursday, adjourning the afternoon session in quite arbitrary fashion is just one of the many things that the government can do under the standing orders. The government controls the business of the Dewan Rakyat. Government business have precedence over other business. The government decides on the sitting time of the House. They have control over what motion gets heard. This is hardly surprising since we have been governed by one party for more than 60 years. So the procedures is heavily stacked in the government's favour. Parliament as an institution that checks on the government is, and also supposedly representative of us, have been rendered subservient and ineffective. So this didn't change when PH took power in 2018. So it was a missed opportunity.
So who can anyone challenge the inaccuracy of the standing order?
You can move a motion to challenge or change the standing order, but that requires majority. And because of how our election is and how the Westminster system is, majority belongs with the government. Otherwise, there wouldn't be government. So government controls parliament, and that's why changing anything that is in favour of government is so difficult.
Now, I understand that this is a 2 weeks postponement, but is there a time limit as to how long it can go on for?
No, there isn't a time limit. The only time limit that there is governing sittings of, or rather how long Parliament can go without sitting is in the Federal Constitution, and that is 6 months. So we have a law which suspends that, but of course the emergency ended yesterday, so that law now, it will continue for another 6 months before eventually ceasing to have effect.
Sin Yu, I wanted some clarification on that because the revocation of these emergency ordinances seem to be in limbo, and barring official revocation, they're going to be in effect for the next 6 months. I mean, can they then be revoked within that 6 months?
It is a fact that the emergency ordinances have not been revoked, because you cannot just revoke the ordinances through a statement in Parliament. It needs to go through the Yang Diputan Agong, and it needs to be gazetted. We know that those steps were not taken. It hasn't been done. And there is, at the end of the day, no gazette. So there is no revocation. What had happened is emergency had ended. So under the Constitution, all ordinances made under this emergency, it continues to live on for the next 6 months. The government, of course, can choose to revoke these ordinances if Parliament is not sitting. But I think that ship has sailed because Parliament is currently sitting. But Parliament can then choose to annul these ordinances if it's laid before them through a motion. But the problem, as we have seen in the past week, is that this motions to annul by, I think one of it is by Anwar Ibrahim, that wasn't allowed to be debated. If Parliament does annul these ordinances, then it will take effect immediately. And there is no need to wait for the 6 months to lapse before these ordinances ceasing to have effect.
And Senior, you know, it's reported that Malay rulers will be meeting next week to discuss the constitutional crisis. What powers do they have then?
Well, our system is a constitutional monarchy, and monarchs should remain above the mud of politics. This means they act on advice rather than the other way around. They do not have discretion in almost any matter except for dissolution of parliament, appointment of the prime minister or chief minister, or conferring privileges. Even then, it needs to be exercised based on constitutional principles. So any power that they would wield would be soft power. The YDPA do, however, have the right to counsel, warn, or encourage the prime minister. His Majesty can express his opinion on matters such as the proclamation of emergency and the ordinances, as we have seen in the past week. But such communications should entirely be confidential between the YDPA and the Prime Minister.
I also want to know, for the opposition, who are clearly objecting to this postponement, can they do anything? Can they compel Parliament to sit? What are their options?
They can't, because of the standing orders, and any motion to change that, because you need a motion to change, to compel, or rather debate the adjournment, and that can't be done because standing orders doesn't even allow that. So this goes to show that events that transpired this week, including this postponement, shows how subservient Parliament is to the government. The fact that the Prime Minister can adjourn a parliamentary sitting indefinitely shows how weak it is as an institution that supposedly represents the rakyat's view. So urgent reforms are needed.
Sinyu, can I ask whether there's a case that can be brought for constitutional interpretation to the federal court, for example? Could we ask the courts to clarify what kind of procedures or rules apply in this situation that we're in?
No, the ultimate authority to decide the interpretation of rules and procedures of the Dewan Rakyat is the Speaker. And again, because the Speaker, to be elected Speaker, you need majority. We have seen that in the past, there's a lot of, almost all, I think all of the Speakers have been aligned with the government of the day. So it's hardly surprising that the Speaker would usually rule in favour of the government of the day. And the interpretation that over certain standing orders, and even the standing orders itself, it's been drafted in a way where it's heavily stacked in favour of the Dewan Rakyat. Not Dewan Rakyat, government of the day. And that's why, the government has Parliament under its thumb. And a lot of constitutional observers, they have been saying that the Dewan Rakyat is effectively a rubber stamp for the government of the day. And that has been the same regardless of what government we have had in the past.
So, Sinyu, as we close to the last question, right, what reforms should be made in Parliament then to ensure we don't get stuck in this quagmire again?
I think there is an urgent reform required over opposition business in the Dewan Rakyat, as well as the role of the Speaker. We have seen sittings of Dewan Rakyat being dominated almost entirely by government business, and the opposition, who is also representative of some people, minority of people, they have not had their businesses heard. And that is very troubling, because you effectively have an agenda of the majority. but what is otherwise a very sizable minority that goes entirely north, and it turns parliament into a zero-sum game, which is bad for the nation as a whole. So that's one of the immediate reform that I can think of.
Sinyu, thanks so much for weighing in on that and for helping us to understand a little bit the legal technicalities of what's happening in parliament. That was constitutional lawyer Niu Sinyu. We are at 8:47 in the morning. We're going to head into a short break. And up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Bridget Welsh, political commentator, for our politics roundup. Some more on this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.